Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email our show if you'd like to at questions@multiformpodcast.com. This is episode 224. I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined by my friends Gus Harden.
Hello.
And Spencer Rain.
Hello.
So here in the U.S., if you are from another country, is a holiday week, Thanksgiving. And we are just coming off of Thanksgiving and the Black Friday, what used to be a Black Friday shopping holiday, but now it feels like Black Friday is like a four-week event because online sales are like 4 weeks long now. Do you guys feel that? Do you guys feel that like Black Friday doesn't matter anymore because everything's on sale online for like 4 weeks before anyway?
Yes.
I mean, but even still, like, I feel like just online shopping in general, more so than the length of the sales, I feel like online shopping in general is kind of taking the oomph out of Black Friday. Because I remember in high school, like, actually going to Best Buy and, like, being a big deal. But nowadays, it's like, no, I'm good. No reason to.
Yeah, I didn't buy anything during this shopping holiday except for, I guess, technically, I bought a t-shirt on Black Friday special for the podcast Talkville, which is Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum rewatching every episode of Smallville, the show they start on. And I bought a logo t-shirt for that show. So I guess I supported another podcast in that way. But they had a Black Friday special, like 10% off or something minor. But I didn't buy anything else. And it feels weird. When I was younger, I used to really enjoy, you know, going out on Black Friday and picking up video games that I didn't get earlier in the year because, you know, money was tighter when I was younger. And Black Friday would be, I'd scoop up, you know, a ton of games for 20 or 30 bucks a piece. But the deals are good digitally, though, I will say.
All like, right.
Well, it depends on what you're looking for,
it's
I guess.
All right.
They suck, usually. They get marked up before the sale, and then they call it a certain percentage off, and then you're really not actually saving a whole bunch of money.
Well, that's true of any Xbox or PlayStation digital sale.
Like just, no, it's everybody. I'm not just
That's definitely true. But I'm talking about like digital Xbox sales. I feel like there were some stuff that was deeply discounted,
yeah,
or at least the lowest it had been so far this year.
Like I was on the the Colts shop, and it says like 65% off. And I was like, if you use the little promo code BF65, I went on there and the two items I bought like weren't even eligible.
Of course.
Like it's like and there's nothing on there that says they aren't eligible. And you have no idea what is eligible and what isn't.
Always the gotchas in the fine
print. Well, it's always, I feel like with sports stuff specifically, it's always like, oh yeah, Black Friday, 75% off, and then the fine print, it's like excludes Nike, Under Armour, like, and then, you know, whatever other name brand.
Even though the ones I got aren't even like nice ones, they're like a nondescript like sweatshirt and t-shirt.
Gus Harden, I didn't buy the nice stuff.
Yeah, I specifically went with the cheap, but it made me mad when I did it, and I was like, whatever, I'm buying it now, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the one thing I actually want to buy on Black Friday, or at least this holiday season on sale, is a recliner. I've been talking about it for a year, but I can't, like, so few stores actually have recliners these days, and when you're going to have a chair for 10 or 15, 20 years, I want to sit in it and make sure
there's,
I like
there's
it.
There's some furniture, as coming from somebody who just bought a couch this fall, there's a lot of furniture stores that sell recliners.
There are, but I've been to four in Indianapolis, and most of them don't have very many. Like, they have maybe 5 or 10, and because there's different...
How many do you want them to have? That's, I mean, 5 or 10, I mean, okay, well...
Well, but if they're all kind of similar, or they only have one or two of each type, like, let's say they only have one that's, you know, an electric, and one that's a fold flat, and in any case... What I'm probably going to end up doing is getting a Lazy Boy because they have like 300 in their store and they'll custom order it. So if you like this off one chair and this off another, you can just say, I want those two items and they'll build it. And, you know, it'll take a few months, but it'll come. The problem is it's all the way across town, all the way over towards where Spencer lives. And I have to find time to go and like spend 2 hours in the store. And I have kids. And last time we went to the store, I took the kids and it was impossible to shop with toddlers running around. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about games. So let's talk about what we've been playing this week, and then we'll get to the news, and we'll maybe keep it a little shorter this week since it's a holiday week, and there's not as much news as normal. Although I was surprised that several brands dropped major news like before a major US holiday and, you know, a primarily US market for the stuff that was announced. So it's like very strange. Like you'd think, like I'm in marketing for my professional career and we don't do a lot around the holidays. You usually build your campaigns to where, unless you're driving action during the holidays, which these things aren't because they're not yet for sale, we try to avoid that time because you're competing against people that are spending big money to sell things that are on sale. So you don't want to advertise during that time because your thing isn't yet on sale. So you're competing against people that have a lot bigger budgets and a lot more urgency. Anyway, I've gone on a rabbit hole. Okay, let's start with Spencer. Spencer, what are you up to? Give us your update on Pentiment. I know you're still playing that. I've seen you online playing it a bunch.
Yeah, so I didn't quite beat it. I overestimated the amount of free time that I had. I mean, I did have 2 days off without family obligations, but I just had other stuff to do around the house, put up Christmas lights one day, and that took a few hours. So, yeah, I mean, I'm on act three though. So I did beat the second act. Quite the ending to act two, I must say. Can't really say much without spoiling it, but it was shocking. The way that act two ended.
I look forward to you getting to the end and then completely spoiling it all for me. Since you know how it ends. I know the very end, but I want you to tell me like what happened at the end of act two, but don't do it on the podcast. I don't want you to ruin it for other people, but
yeah, well, yeah, I wouldn't. But yeah, I mean, there's another murder in act two, of course, and it's still connected. It's connected somehow to the original murder, and those little pieces of paper that I mentioned last week, they showed up again, less obvious. It was weird though.
Origami killer.
Yeah, I totally messed something up because at the end of the act, I can only accuse one person. And I was like, well, guess I'm accusing this one person, because I only have one choice. Which, I mean, there was another person that I would have preferred, but I messed up the investigation for that person. So I was kind of like, well, this makes sense that I can't choose them. But the person that I could pick, I was like, whatever. I mean, it's possible. They had a good motive.
Wonder if the person that actually did it is even eligible to be accused in one and two.
I'm starting to think that you're just killing people and like people are getting murdered and then you're just like accusing people and then they end up getting executed.
Well, and I think that would be the only way the story would make sense because I assume that when they get to the end that they want the person that is the killer to be a huge surprise. But if they were in your original, if it was in your original pool of applicants, let me apply for the position.
So because the person I picked, I picked this specific person at the end of act 2 and it actually resulted in another person dying because of basically the mob loses control, the mob of peasants. Like there's like another plot line about how the peasants are getting oppressed by the abbot. And so like they're part of the reason, they're like the Inquisition, if you will, forcing you to make a selection of who you think the murderer is. And basically they go off the rails and accidentally kill another person as well as the accused murderer. And it's very insane. And then what they do just, it snowballs like epically at the very end of the act. And that's what I was talking about. I was like, wow, I did not expect that. Cause that's, you know, what happens. It's pretty crazy. Like it goes pretty crazy, pretty fast. And then there's another massive time jump. There was like a 18 year time jump to act three.
And which I guess this killer goes dormant for some reason. That'll be explained when you find out who they are.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're only killing at certain points. Maybe they're only like killing to defend their identity or something. I don't know. Spencer, you and I are going to have a conversation about this game when you beat it. We're not going to do it on the air, or we'll do it at the end of an episode so that it's a spoiler thing that people can avoid, because I want you to give me the high level stuff because I don't have the patience to sit through the gameplay to experience this myself. This game just isn't a Tim game, but yeah. I am intrigued by the murder mystery of it all.
I just looked on the app and I'm at 9 hours and 16 minutes played. So it's probably, like you said, about 15 hours, I would imagine. I'm annoyed because I like somehow, I don't know. I'm like annoyed because it's obviously you can't save scum this game. Not that I would, because that would ruin the experience, but it's like I do something and literally it's like 3-5 minutes later, something gets messed up because I made the wrong choice. Tim's showing his phone and he's played 17 hours and 52 minutes of Gotham Knights. That's a from the way he describes it and the way the internet describes it, that's a punishment that I wish on no one.
I'll give an update on it in a minute. But yeah, you said how long you've been playing Pentiment, so I wanted to compare that to my what do you call it? My time prison sentence that is Gotham Knights.
Yeah. I mean, it's really great. I'll probably beat it this week, I would imagine. Have a little bit more free time in the evenings without it being, you know, a holiday week. But I don't know if I'll play it again. Although, but like I said, it's frustrating because it's like something will happen and it's like you'll make a dialogue choice and this pop-up comes up that says this will be remembered.
And that's which is straight from a Telltale game.
Yeah, it's like that's how you know that you're going to have to try to convince that person of to do something or to tell you something later. But if you pick the wrong dialogue option there, you're less likely to be able to convince them of something later, which I was like,
I honestly think I would like this game if they made two changes. And I know these are not practical because this game was obviously made on a smaller budget because it has a smaller market appeal. But if the characters were voiced and if I could skip dialogue for like side characters that I don't like, if I want to be able to skip some unimportant dialogue, like the game should give me the ability. Mm-hmm. If maybe don't let me skip the stuff that's super key to the murder mystery, maybe. But in general, I think if it were voiced and I could skip some dialogue that I don't want to sit through that I get stuck in, because I feel forced in some instances, because here's what happens. Sorry, I didn't mean to take the reins from you, Spencer, but I wanted to explore and do a bunch of like stuff. And there's all these little icons of all the people you could like talk to and do things. So I go to each one of those people just to see what happens. But I might get stuck in a conversation with some side character that has nothing to do with the plot, but I can't get out of it because you can't skip the text until it just has done its course. So you end up trapped. And if you're a person like me that's OCD, that's going around like talking to every person, you end up tapping A through conversations forever, except for you can't in this game because it doesn't let you skip through. So anyway, that's why I found it annoying, because I wanted to see everything, but sometimes I would go see things I didn't need to see.
I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. I haven't.
Any other thoughts from you this week?
On Pentiment, no, that's probably it. I put this in our group meet a couple days after we recorded, but there was a huge update last week, I think November 15th, for Crusader Kings 3 on console, which added the free update, which included the ruler designer, which is great. So you can make your god emperor and take over the world, essentially, because your stats are so high. And then they also added the first DLC from the PC version of the game, which was kind of the Viking flavor and mission pack, which I think is like $9. This is another example of I wish I could pay for this DLC one time and then it cross over both. But since they're so different from each other, that's not a possibility, which makes me sad.
I forget, is the game buy anywhere? Like, can you install it on Windows or Xbox if you buy it?
No, I don't think so, because, well, actually, I haven't definitively tested that, but I'm like 99% sure that it's not, unfortunately, just because they're so different.
Yeah, I think you're right, because if it was, then you'd be able to have your save go back and forth.
Because obviously it's on Game Pass, so you can play it, or I could play it on PC through Game Pass, but then I own it on Xbox. And
is it on Xbox Game Pass for console or just PC?
It's on both. It's on console and PC.
So you bought the console version, or are you using Game Pass?
I have the console. I own the console version, but I did not pay for the PC version since I obviously don't really have a PC and didn't have a PC that I actually owned that could play it.
Whose fault is that?
No one's fault. I don't know. I don't, it's like, I would love to have a PC that could play it, but at the same time, like, I don't really want to spend, you know, $800 or $1,000 just to be able to play Crusader Kings and Parts well, of I did Iron occasionally. I know, but
no, I did offer to contribute.
I know. We'll see. Not right now, though. Too many other things to pay for, unfortunately.
Yeah, such is life.
But yeah, so that's out. That's cool. I'm glad that finally came out. I did play. I did start a save and played a few hours of that on, I want to say, Wednesday.
Wait, so you're Tuesday. Playing it on console, right?
Yeah, this was on console.
You know, I saw you playing CK3, Crusader Kings 3, and I was like, oh, I guess he's got some laptop he's playing it on, because I know you lost access to the laptop you used to play it on. I didn't even consider the fact that you could have been on your console. Interesting.
Yeah.
Does it support mouse and keyboard? Like if you hook your Xbox up to a monitor?
That's a good question.
I'm going to Google that while you're still talking.
Or well, if I mean, not, really you can hand it off to Gus. I was just going to say that, yeah, I played that on Wednesday. I want to say I started a new save and was enjoying that. But yeah, I did play Mass Effect 3. I'm getting close to the end there finally on the Legendary Edition, but nothing else interesting.
It seems like it does not support mouse and keyboard on console. Although I just found a list of games that do support mouse and keyboard on Xbox, and I didn't realize it was this many games. It's quite a lot more than I thought it was. Okay. Gus, how about you? Judging by our show notes here, it looks like you did not play a ton of Xbox this week because you were both working and it was the holidays, and you're like me, still playing Marvel Snap.
Yeah, I was barely at home this weekend.
Understandable.
So I've been home to like feed my cat since Wednesday, and that's basically it. Obviously, yep. Multiple times, not just once.
Yeah. Well, cats are a lot easier than dogs.
Yeah, all I do is show up, feed them, play with them for a bit, and then
litter
leave.
Box. Yeah. We yesterday we went to Chicago for the day. Spencer was with us, and I didn't realize until the night before at like 10:30 p.m. that we were going to be gone like 14 to 16 hours. And my wife's like, did you get anyone to watch the dog? And I was like, no, did you? She's like, no. So had to ask a friend to come over and let the dog out and feed her and everything, because I had no idea. And luckily we have great friends that could do that with no notice the night before. But yeah, cats are a lot easier. I have a friend at work that when he goes out of town, I just have to run over, you know, every day to check on the cat because she takes care of herself. But okay, well, with that, for me, I had the week off. I took the week off work knowing that I was going to be doing holiday stuff. And then we had some people in town for my mother-in-law's birthday. And so I had a lot of time to game this week. And on Monday, I finished the Call of Duty campaign. And then Gus didn't, you know what? We did, Gus, you gamed this week because you and I did co-op Call of Duty. Wasn't that this week? Because we didn't talk about it on last week's show.
That might have been like Tuesday
Monday
night,
or Tuesday?
Monday or Tuesday night. Yes, that so, is true. We did do the cooperative game mode. And boy,
yeah,
was so, that hard.
Yeah, we did 3 out of the 4 different missions. And yeah, they are quite difficult. It does not play like zombies, and it does not play like the campaign. It's just like they're flooding you with enemies. We got almost to the end of the third mission, I think. One of the other ones, the first one we went into, we died pretty quickly because we didn't know how it worked yet, like how many revives you get and how all that works. So we were like one and done. And then we tried a couple others. And by the third time, we were like, okay, we know how this works. And we got really, really, really far. But you get one revive.
Yeah.
And then you have to find another one if you want it, or you have to have your teammate revive you.
I think my biggest gripe with it was that it's not what I was hoping it was, and that I should be able to bring my loadout into it. Like, I shouldn't just be given the gun that they gave me at the beginning, and then they have like those weird little gun walls that have weapons and ammo that you can get. Like, I should just be able to, like, it should just be kind of almost like operate like almost kind of like Warzone, where you come in with the class and then you can get ammo for the class or buy the upgrades. Like, the Defender Zeta one, which we did not play together, you can buy like field upgrades, like auto turrets and stuff like that to like put down. And that's why I enjoyed that one the most. Like I said, my biggest gripe is that you can't bring loadouts into it, and the lack of, I'm trying to think of like versatility. I don't know if that's right. Like, or variety throughout the mission too. Like, if you run out of ammo and you're in a bad spot, you just have to drop whatever. If your gun is nice, you have to drop it and use a crappy AK for the remainder of the mission.
Or until you get to the next wave where you can grab there's like these little drop points where there's ammo. Yeah.
If you're lucky though, the one where we did, where we were, it was like, I feel like we got the furthest, like where we were driving the car around. You got to those gun walls and ammo areas, and all it gave you was either a grenade launcher or like a rocket launcher. And I'm like, what am I going to do with these?
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like the cooperative mode did not get a whole lot of thought when they were like, It seems like they were focused on Warzone, focused on multiplayer, focused on campaign, that this is just like an addition that they've put out there.
You're right. It did feel like fourth fiddle. Yeah, for sure.
Like I wish they would do a little bit better for it.
But I don't know if you noticed, Gus, maybe you haven't played, you probably haven't played as much Warzone in multiplayer as I have, but there are operators that are locked behind beating certain co-op missions.
So, I did notice that.
I don't know if they're like cool looking operators.
But I have the operators that I want already, so that's like, I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, I don't know that I care enough to unlock them all. I didn't see if they were like the cooler ones or anything, but I did notice when I was messing around with operators the other day that was. So anyway,
yeah.
Gus and I played co-op. I beat the campaign on Monday, so the first day that I was off. The second day that I was off, I played Gotham Knights almost exclusively. If you could hear that on mic, that was my dog shaking her collar. Gotham Knights, I've played a ton of this week. I played at least 2 days of Gotham Knights, and I have 2 missions left, and then I'm done with the story. My update on Gotham Knights is, I said this game was a 5 out of 10. I was too generous. I'm already down to a 4 out of 10, and the combat became so bad and monotonous that I knocked the difficulty from normal down to easy, and then from easy down to very easy, because the combat is so one note, and I don't know. I can't find enough negative things to say about it, that I don't enjoy the combat at all, and I don't enjoy the movement at all, which I get is 90% of the game, so that's why the game is so bad. But I am enjoying the story, so that's why I'm still playing it. There are some things that are good, like the time trials suck. There's some other side activities that are a little more fun. Like there's these stealth ones where you're trying to like plant evidence to prove that Bruce Wayne isn't Batman, or at least throw people off the scent so that people don't coordinate that Bruce Wayne died at the same time as Batman. But those missions are kind of fun, but they're short. There's some other side activities that are fun, but this game is just very one note and very forgettable. On previous episodes, I've said a lot of bad things about it, and those all still stand. The only redeeming quality really is the plot and the lore, but it fails on combat. It fails on movement. It fails on graphics. It fails on gameplay. I mean, that's why, like, I really think most people would struggle to find fun in this game. Like, I'm a super nerd for DC Comics, so I'm finding enough fun in the story, but the game itself is bad. So I won't beat that anymore. And then finally, I've been playing Plague Tale Requiem. I played that one of the days that I was off. I spent playing that as well. Nothing really to say there. I'm still enjoying it. I really like that series. I don't think they're going to make another one from the comments I've seen them say in the press, which is kind of a shame, because I think it's a rare thing to have like this period piece alternate history stealth game and have it be as big a deal as it has been, that it got a sequel when they didn't expect it to. So anyway, let's talk about some news. So the first piece of news that dropped this week, that was the first thing that I was surprised that it was dropping the week of Thanksgiving, is that Hyperkin has announced a successor or a sequel, whatever you want to say, to their Duke Revival controller. And they're now bringing back the Xbox 360 controller. So much like the Duke, it is going to be a wired controller, and it does what updates are necessary to make it work on modern consoles, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, Windows 10, Windows 11. So it changes the buttons to have the view, the menu, and the share button instead of the back and the start button from the original 360 controller. And otherwise, it's identical to the original 360 controller, except for there's no battery bulbs on the back. Now, when I talked to you guys about this, I think I asked what they would do for that, and I was curious. They did, in fact, smooth it out. So it does have a smooth back, which I think there was a 360 version like this with no battery bulge that was a wired controller, 360 wired for PC, that was very hard to find because nobody bought it. So it didn't stay on the market very long, because I remember trying to find one. So this is basically a revival of that, because that was wired, didn't have the battery bulge. It just has the updated view, menu, and back buttons. So it's available in 4 colors. It's going to be black, white, pink, and red. I'm probably going to get a white or a black one, because I like this a lot better than the Duke, because the Duke, even though it's cool as like a memorabilia item, it's still this giant controller that's uncomfortable to use, versus this is actually a 360 controller, which I used for years and years and years and enjoyed. So no release day yet, no price yet. Those are all the details. Spencer, Gus, what did you guys think of this? Spencer?
Yeah, I was going to say the wired 360 controller was the one that, like you said, didn't have the bulge on the back. So is this presumably wireless, right? Or is this going to be wired?
No, it's wired.
That's so interesting.
Which is weird because all the renders don't have the wire shown, but it's very clear in the press release that it's wired.
That's interesting to me, considering obviously it makes sense that, you know, the Duke was wired, so making that wire doesn't really matter. But like you said, 95% of 360 controllers people used were wireless with the bulge in the back. So I wonder why it must just be, you know, some order of magnitude cheaper to do it this way than to try to make them wireless. I don't know. Seems weird.
I forgot to mention the name is Hyperkin Xenon, and that is the code name from the original Xbox 360 when it was in development. So they named it after that. Spencer, sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, when I first saw this, I thought it looked a little weird, but now that I've looked at it more, I think they did a really good job. It does look like the 360 controller, which does look slightly different even from an Xbox One controller from 2013. If I get one of these, which I don't think I will just because I don't need more controllers and things of that nature, I would probably just get white because it's the classic one. And I think
the problem with the white is, so on all of them, the view, back, and share button are black, despite the fact that on the original they would have been, what, gray or white?
Gray, yeah.
So it looks weird on the white one versus on the black controller, the buttons are black and they blend sense. Right in.
Yeah.
So I want to get the white for nostalgia purposes because I had my first 360 was the white one. My third 360 was black. But I'm wondering if I might be more tempted to get the black one.
That's a good point.
But I will say, I'm torn between the two colors, and the other thing is price. Like, if this is $100, I'm not...
I'm sure it'll be $69.99. That's how much the Duke was. I can't imagine it being more.
I think it should be less. It doesn't have a screen in it like the Duke does.
That's true.
So, to me, this is a lock at $40. It's a maybe at $50 or $60.
There's no way that's going to be $40.
Yeah, I know. Inflation and all that, but... I don't know. We'll see how tempted I get. Plus, the Duke has gone on sale for a pretty decent price a couple times, so maybe I'll just wait and get it on sale. But I think this would be perfect for me on PC too, because I could just plug it in with USB.
I was on Hyperkin's website to see how much the Duke cost for that frame of reference, and I forgot that they made a 20th anniversary with the same kind of logos as the One controllers.
It's kind of cool. Remember they brought back the 360 earpiece too.
I did, yeah.
That finally ever came on the market, but
I never got one, even though
way too late because they teased you for too long.
Exactly.
They better not do that with this. Like, people are expecting this to come out next year, but like, remember that earpiece took like, but I think that was like a licensing or technology issue versus this has got to be a lot more
straightforward. Weird time to announce it, 17th anniversary. It's not really a time when things get announced. Usually it's a round number or a five or something.
Yeah. But then again, this is not like Xbox. This is a third party, like working with Xbox. They probably were just trying to like sync it up with something to give it some gravitas. But like I said, why would you announce this when your news is going to compete with basically like every gaming site was running like, look what's on sale for Black Friday, at like news stories every 5 minutes for the entire week. So like that's what you're competing against in your marketing cycle. So that's why I thought it was weird. So what about you, Gus? Would you get one of these or you just don't need more controllers?
It looked cool. And then I was just like, I don't know. Is there something off about it to you guys? Like the dimensions look wrong. And maybe that's because I'm used to looking at new Xbox controllers.
I think that's what it is. Because I agree. When you first look at an actual 360 controller, it does look weird because we're so used to the Xbox One controller, which to me, the 360 controller, it looks like a product of its time. Like if you told me, this controller was designed in 2005 and showed me the Xbox One controller and be like, and we're like, yep, this was designed, you know, almost 10 years later, I'd be like, okay. Because it looks old. Like it looks funny. It has like the weird kind of, I don't even know how you describe it, kind of like the weird like
swoopy
curvature. It's more swoopy and kind of like, I don't know.
Cars had the same kind of design aesthetic at the time and a lot of other electronics at that time. The thing that it's also, remember the Xbox One controller is a lot bigger than the 360 controller too. So like we're not used to the joysticks taking up as much space, which is also Well, how long was the Xbox One? It's also weird because the Xbox One controller has kind of morphed over time, right? Like, we had the first version of it, then we had the second version with the 3.5 millimeter jack, then we had the third version with the Bluetooth that no longer had the shiny piece at the top, then we had the fourth version that has the share button. So I think there's been roughly four versions of the Xbox One controller, and it's lived across two console generations and one mid-range console refresh. This was just one console. Although, another thing, Spencer, I'm kind of disappointed that they used the D-pad that everybody hated from the 360 generation and not the rotating D-pad, which I know adds complexity and cost, but there was a better D-pad in those optional controllers later in
its life cycle. But if you think about it, the Duke was a terrible controller and they still made
that. Okay, you're right.
So it's kind of just like, well, we'll just go with the original.
Part of the retro aesthetic, you're right. Yeah. Well, and at least they are offering multiple colors. Although black, white, red, and pink. Pink is the weird one. Like, was there, I'm sure there was a pink 360 controller, but it's not what you think of as like iconic. It must have been 360.
Somebody at Hyperkin was like, I really want a pink one. And so someone high up at Hyperkin was like, I really want a pink one. Make that a fourth color. And I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah, I'm sure market research helps them or something, or maybe, yeah, some random person.
I don't think so. Who wants a pink controller?
Lots of children. Lots and lots of women and children.
No. They don't. And some dudes. They don't buy novelty controllers.
Oh, maybe.
Which is what this is.
I depending on the price, this is the kind of thing I would like buy for my kids because they're going to break it. And it's if it's less expensive than a full-on Xbox One controller. You just
could have used Xbox One controller. At that point,
I actually set aside my Xbox controller that has the broken vibration motor. I set that one aside for my kids to use in the future because it's already pre-broken, so they can't do more damage to it. Okay, number two, Witcher 3 Wild Hunt has finally got its next gen version outlined. We got a trailer on a live stream this week that was teased last week. This is robust, Spencer. This is more than I expected. So I've got a list that I've condensed to like 12 or so things. And there's more than this, but I'll just run through these really fast. Then you guys can kind of give me your thoughts. So the biggest surprise to me was cross progression. There's going to be cloud saves that you now can save and transfer your saves between PS5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC, which is awesome for me because I own the PC version. And much like CD Projekt Red's other game, Cyberpunk, that added it recently, I will be able to switch back and forth between PC and console. So I love that. Okay, so 30 FPS. Well, actually, should I go through all of these and we talk about them, or do you guys want to like add in comments as we go? Spencer, you're probably most relevant since this is a game you love.
I mean, I guess we can just talk about it. What are the ones that, I mean, we don't have...
Okay, just stop me if you want to add something. So 30 FPS with ray tracing. So ray tracing, remember I made a joke about that maybe coming. Well, it is. And then a performance mode, 60 FPS without ray tracing. And the ray tracing is global illumination. It's not reflections or shadows. Well, maybe shadows. I don't think shadows, just global illumination. So like the light of the sun and everything, which will hopefully lead to better shadows. But yeah, so the other things, left bumper can now be held to change the face buttons to the different signs. So they say this makes using shines a lot easier in combat, so you don't have to like go into a menu to switch signs. They also have a new map that lets you filter out question marks. So if you want your map
that's
cleaner,
that's the Tim update.
I'll probably leave the question marks on, to be honest.
Oh, I thought that the question marks drove you insane because there were always so many of them.
I guess they kind of did, but I also like to, it depends on if they're things I actually want to go to or not. So maybe I will turn them off. Lots of other quality of life improvements, they said. I think actually I put that in my notes because I didn't want to outline all of them because there's lots of little things. The Netflix is getting Witcher Quest will unlock the Witcher costumes, and then there's also a Jaskier costume for one of the side characters in Wild Hunt. They're adding photo mode finally, which I think a lot of people are happy about. There's new camera options, so there's like a closer camera option that puts like Geralt to the left a little bit and zoomed in to where you like, I know I always say that weird on there. Geralt. So now you can do like a more zoomed in over the shoulder third person if you want kind of like more immersive photo, not photo mode, camera angle. So that's a new option. Faster load times. The mini map and the HUD can now fade out When you're playing, so that like it just basically goes, you know, off the screen so that it's more immersive, and then you can pop it back up by hitting a button. You can toggle that on and off, I believe. And then 4K textures, better foliage, better reflections. And then this one's another surprising one. They added some of the community's mods into the game. So I wonder if they don't have a list yet, but I wonder if they're going to publish a list. And I wonder how that works. Like, if any of the modders got compensated, like, did they buy people out of their mods? Like, hey, we'll give you 50 grand to give us your mod so we can put it in the game. And I wonder how they chose which ones would go in. Like, are they fan favorites? Are they the ones that are easiest to implement? Are they the ones that are the coolest, or the ones that are least immersion breaking? Like, so I'll be interested to see if a list of that gets published, or if the community comes up like through reverse engineering of which mods were put into the game to put it up like a list on Reddit or something. Spencer, any thoughts on all these improvements? I think it's pretty robust.
Yeah, I agree. I watched the trailer this week and that got me excited. The Netflix stuff looks pretty cool. Like Geralt's armor from the show looks pretty cool. I was actually pretty pleased with how that turned out, just because I feel like it looks kind of weird in the show at times, but it looked cool in the trailer. I'll probably be doing...
They also added the Nilfgaardian armor from the first season of the Netflix show that everyone hated.
Really? It's funny. Yeah, I don't know if I'll do the 30 or 60 FPS mode. I know I was thinking about this last night, that I needed to pull my disc out so I can install it and be ready to go.
You should just buy the digital version while it's on sale, I think. So you don't have to use the disc. I think it's like $7 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
That is the other thing. It's on sale on all platforms for like 80% off. So you can get the game and all the DLC for either $8 or $10 on all platforms. So yep, if it's still on sale when you hear this.
Photo mode is an interesting addition. This was one of those games that early on, because it was only, I guess, a year and a half after the Xbox One launched when this game came out, that it was one of those games where I was like constantly hitting the screenshot button. So it'll be nice to have a photo mode if any more of those vistas strike my fancy. But it's cool. No, I think there's a lot of faster load times is nice. There were still some, I mean, it wasn't as bad on the Series X, but there were some pretty slow loading times previously. So yeah, I know the trailer looks really cool. It's like 2 minutes long. Definitely excited for this.
Speaking of 2 minute trailers, this is not in our show notes, but there was a 5 minute trailer for the new holiday themed event for World of Tanks that I sent to you and Gus. If anyone hasn't seen this, it's kind of funny. It's a 5 minute trailer. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and the girl from the Resident Evil movies. What's her name?
Mila Jovovich? I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Mila Jovovich, I believe, is, yes, the secondary character. And they're just like spreading holiday cheer through this guy that's shooting a commercial for them. It's very, self-referential. Like the first 30 seconds is them shooting a commercial, and then it pulls the camera back to see what's going on behind the scenes. And Arnold Schwarzenegger and Mila have to spread holiday cheer to one of the cast members whose son isn't going to see Christmas because his dad is there shooting this commercial or whatever. The funny thing about it is it's a 5 minute like ad for the holiday season thing in World of Tanks. There's nothing about World of Tanks in the entire ad. 5 minutes. There's no mention of it. There's no tanks in the background, nothing until the very end. And it's like, you know, I don't know what they call their seasonal thing, but you know, and then it pops up with the logo at the very, very end for like 5 seconds and then it's over. But it is cool. And Arnold Schwarzenegger always does funny stuff when he does ads, and just seeing him in things is always kind of, I always liked him, so it's cool. Anyway, check that out. It's a side note. Okay, number three, EA Sports College Football has been announced that it won't be released until summer 2024. So anybody hoping that it would come next year for 2023 season, their hopes are dashed. But the good news is the reason for that, they say, is because they're building it from the ground up. This is not going to be based on a like copy paste of Madden and then making it college. They are building a ground up football game, and they want to build a robust one. And I assume they want to get it right, or at least have a good footing on the first one so that they can build a fan base to have sequels. Are you guys bummed at all that this is still basically a year and a half to 2 years away?
I'm sad. Gus is like, I don't care.
Gus is shrugging right now.
I mean, you guys know that that's like not like, it's like one of those things where whatever.
It's just been so long. That's why I'm like, yeah. Anchoring.
I don't know. I can wait a little bit longer. I mean, we've seen how they've treated Madden. So like I'm skeptical.
Yeah, it was funny on Twitter. A lot of people were just like, listen, just give us a reskin of NCAA 14 right now and we'll be happy.
Like, honestly, though.
Which was the last one.
Yeah, like I really, they could start with that.
Yeah, they should, you know, like, re-release that. That's what they should do.
Just go from there.
Just build some momentum, build some interest, build some goodwill. Just re-release NCAA 14.
I think there's honestly a lost opportunity there. Like, if they took old... pick your best like Metacritic sports games and release them with modern rosters or something, and people would lose their minds. Like what NHL did when they re-released NFL 97 or whatever it was, 94.
Yeah, just strip the music out. And honestly, all you have to do, because NCAA football never had like licensed music, all it had were like the school fight songs. So you wouldn't even have to worry about like there being necessary licensing issues, because it's probably a lot easier to like, for the NCAA to just be like, yeah, I have the rights to these fight songs are included with whatever rights we sold you when we said you could make the game. I feel like rather than like, oh, you have to go talk to, you know, I don't even know who, Capitol Records, and get their approval, pay millions of dollars for these songs. But yeah, they should. I agree, Tim. That's a good point. I feel like that is a missed opportunity. You could re-release some of these games with strip out, yeah, the old players and replace them with new ones. And
honestly, I mean, even if you released them with the original likenesses and original rosters, I feel like people would still eat it up, especially if you like went like pre-360 era to some old games. But even like picking maybe a choice one from the 360 era that had. But then, you know, it's like, which one do you go with? Because I think a lot of fans would nitpick the choice, right? Like, let's say you went with Madden 2006 and, you know, fans felt more strongly about 2007 or 2008. Does that end up being a nitpick, or is there a way for them to easily kind of pick and choose elements from, you know, that entire era and maybe just make a greatest hits of the 360 era Maddens and release that as one game? But I think then you lose the nostalgia of like the menu music or the menu look and feel and stuff like that, that people really want to appreciate when they open up a game that is a refresh of an older game. But in this era of redoing old games, it just seems like the fact that we haven't had that happen to sports or racing games, with the exception of a few, or I guess just one Need for Speed Hot Pursuit remake. It just seems strange. Although, technically not true, because I guess Microsoft has done a good job of updating, like you can play Forza Horizon 1 in 4K, but then I'm starting to get, you know, I'm threading the needle there about what's actually new and not new. So, okay, final major news story of the week. This one is kind of just a roundup of all the latest stuff on the Activision Blizzard acquisition. I've generally not been putting this in our news because there's always an update about this and that regulatory body saying they're going to investigate, or they're going to do this, or they're going to do that, or this government has approved. Two countries have approved so far. I think another like 17 are still investigating. There was some leaker this week that said that they are hearing that the United States FTC is going to sue to block it in the USA, but that doesn't necessarily mean it will be blocked. That just means there's going to be a lawsuit about it. But the two things I pulled out this week that I did want to talk about is, one, Microsoft is saying that they at one point have offered Sony 10 years of Call of Duty. They claimed this to the New York Times. And this is kind of interesting because at the same time that things have started to become tense in the UK regulatory review, Sony has been saying some pretty outlandish statements over the last week.
Yes, they have.
Things like they said that if Microsoft is allowed to acquire Activision Blizzard, that it'll give them enough market power to raise prices on consoles, which is ironic since PlayStation just raised console prices in every jurisdiction except for the USA. And they also talk about raising subscription prices for Game Pass, which Microsoft has been pretty clear that they aren't going to raise it this year for the holidays to keep everything consistent for families, but inflation's out of control. Like, Microsoft is going to raise prices. It's going to happen in the next 24 months, guaranteed, whether Activision Blizzard goes through or not. So also claiming that, you know, Microsoft's going to do exclusives and things to keep PlayStation from playing ball, it all just seems ridiculous when PlayStation does all the things that they're accusing Xbox of, and they're currently the market leader. So you could, PlayStation isn't a monopoly, but they just locked down Silent Hill 2 as a timed exclusive. They have Final Fantasy as a timed exclusive. They have exclusive rights to Spider-Man. Well, I guess that's not true because he's in Avengers and a couple others. Anyway, you get my point. So they've been making kind of outlandish statements. And so now we have Microsoft saying they offered Sony 10 years. And obviously you're not going to make a, you know, Phil Spencer's comments that we talked about last week with the, what's the name of that podcast? Decider, was it? Decoder. Yeah, that he said, well, no lawyer is going to let you make an unlimited contract, but a 10-year contract. I mean, that's a console generation and a half. That's kind of insane. Another thing that came up out of the recent filings over this acquisition is that Sony's brief seemed to indicate that Microsoft and Xbox are not, or Microsoft and PlayStation are not expected to launch new consoles until 2027 or 2028. Which would be 7 or 8 years after launch of the current consoles, which kind of makes sense if we're kind of still on a 7 to 8 year console life cycle, which we have been for the last three generations. And then the final thing is Sony kind of took a cheap shot at Battlefield, but it's kind of a ridiculous one. So the quote goes like this. Other publishers do not have the resources or expertise to match its success. Talking about Call of Duty. Sorry, inserting there. And going back to the quote. To give a concrete example, Electronic Arts, one of the largest third-party developers after Activision, has tried many years to produce a rival to Call of Duty with its Battlefield series. And then they go on, or that's the end of that quote, and then it goes on a little bit later to say, despite the similarities between Call of Duty and Battlefield, and despite EA's track record in developing other successful AAA franchises, such as FIFA, Mass Effect, Need for Speed, and Star Wars Battlefront, the Battlefield franchise cannot keep up. As of August 2021, more than 400 million Call of Duty games have been sold, while Battlefield has sold just 88.7 million copies. So I thought this was hilarious because FIFA, Mass Effect, Need for Speed, and Star Wars Battlefront, I feel like Need for Speed is probably less successful than Battlefield. And to compare 400 million of Call of Duty to 88.7 million of Battlefield and call that like Battlefield failing to keep up, Battlefield is still a hugely successful franchise despite putting out the last couple games not being well received. So, I mean, yeah, Call of Duty is the biggest, but again, like their arguments just seem really strange. It's like you're making it seem like Battlefield is an indie startup that isn't doing very well. Yeah, it's still, like still selling multi-millions.
Sony just dragging Battlefield right there. It's funny. But also, like, I get with them trying to compare the two because, you know, maybe at one time Battlefield and Call of Duty were, you know, kind of the A and B in the first person shooter space. But I think you're also kind of missing the bigger picture that EA makes a ton of other properties. Like they're not just known for Battlefield, like you said, and like the, like you said, Tim, like they make FIFA, they make Madden, they make Star Wars games from time to time. They Need for Speed, The Sims. Like there's a ton of games that that EA is kind of involved with. It's not just like Activision where, okay, yeah, they have Warcraft, or, you know, they have whatever, they have a couple, but those are more Blizzard, I guess, anyway. But Activision is known for Call of Duty. They don't have an NFL game. They don't have a racing game. You know, they don't have a soccer game. So I don't know if that's even still a fair comparison, even if Battlefield sold better. I don't know. This whole thing is stupid, and EA or Sony is basically being a massive crybaby about this. Even though
at this point, I don't even care if it goes through or not. I just want to stop talking about it. Yeah, I was never really that big a fan because I don't play Activision games outside of Call of Duty. And even then, I'm not a massive Call of Duty fan. And them coming to Game Pass, yeah, I probably won't buy them because I can play them in Game Pass. But I wasn't going to play most of the Blizzard stuff anyway. I played a little bit of Overwatch, too. So I don't know. I just this doesn't affect me. And the fact that people feel so strongly about this is really, like, people, like, aka gamers, I don't think this is going to affect anybody, for the negative. It's either going just, I mean, it just seems like nothing's going to change. The games are all going to be on PlayStation. The one thing that is up in the air that we don't know is Activision Blizzard making any games that we don't know about that will then become Microsoft exclusives, like Starfield, because that's what Sony isn't complaining about, is whatever's in the pipeline that nobody knows about yet that Microsoft maybe knows about because they have entered into talks about what the value of the company is and what their potential IP is worth and all that. Anyway, for the quick hits, I have two stories this week. Number one, Far Cry 6 DLC. We talked about this a long time ago when they announced that new version of the game that would come with an expansion, yet the expansion had never been announced. Well, they're going to announce it next week on November 29th. So at 10 a.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/Ubisoft, they're going to announce it. It's called the Far Cry 6 Expansion Reveal Livestream. And as we talked about on other shows, I don't feel like Far Cry's DLC is ever very good. So I'm going in heavily skeptical and unlikely to purchase this unless it is truly something to behold. And I'm a huge Far Cry fan, but I've been disappointed every time I've spent money on the DLC, so I'm done. And then number two, the Winter Soldier is the new hero that is I think he's already been added to Marvel's Avengers. I didn't care enough to figure out what the date was because I wrote in our notes too little too late, where I would normally write details about this, like the date and the information. All I know is he's not getting like a full expansion like Black Panther. He's just being added like Jane Foster's Thor was, the Mighty Thor, with like the normal heroic quest line that unlocks a heroic skin. So basically the character is being added and there's not really any story content, which is what they did with Jane Foster's Thor. But also another complaint about this. So we've had, what, 4 or 5 new characters now? So we have 2 Hawkeyes. One DLC was Hawkeye. We have 2 Thors. One was Thor. We have Winter Soldier, which is basically Captain America with guns. So that's 2 Captain Americas, 2 super soldiers. So the only character that is an actual like new type of character is Black Panther. And he got a full story expansion. So Marvel's Avengers, too little too late. I'm done with this game. This is finally the last straw with me. I played Jane Foster's Thor. I'm not even going to re-download it or play with Cloud to check out Bucky because I'm just done. I will say, though, after playing extensive Gotham Knights, Gotham Knights is the worst game. Marvel's Avengers is a better game. It has a few flaws that make it not the greatest, but now in comparison, it is miles better than Gotham Knights. Gotham Knights is a truly bad game. Avengers is just a disappointing game.
What I want to know is why do we have to have an event, a live stream event for an unveiling of DLC? It seems really stupid. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe there's interest. I don't know. Maybe I'm just an old man looking for a reason to be upset. But to me, it seems stupid.
I would be really curious how many people are going to watch that live, because maybe a few thousand are going to watch it live. But I'd say the vast majority of people are going to see this on YouTube later or on news sites that publish the trailer, you know, like IGN, Polygon, whatever.
Are they going to do like what they did for Assassin's Creed Valhalla and have an artist like spend like 6 hours like, you know, painting a mock-up and then have the live stream be at the end? You remember that?
Oh, man, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. I remember having that up at work on my other monitor because I was just like, all right, here we go, I guess.
I mean, at least that was interesting and original. I don't know.
True. But a live stream event feels like what you do for a game announcement. I don't know. It just seems silly to like a week ahead of time be like, we're going to have a live stream for DLC. And I mean, for bigger games, it makes sense. But like, I don't know, Far Cry, like, who cares?
So I'm looking, the 29th is Tuesday. So this podcast going up will go live on Monday. So this will be the day after the podcast goes live. But then the Game Awards is the following Thursday. I wonder if they're just trying to get the reveal out of the way because they're going to run a trailer at the Game Awards or something. Because that's sometimes a lot of stuff like that happens where they want to announce something before, like, you know, it's going to be featured in an NBA like playoff ad or the Game Awards, or it's going to be, you know, a Super Bowl ad or whatever. You want to get the reveal out so it's not the first time people are seeing it before that. But I don't know. Also, I'm really burnt out on the, like, I'm a person that usually watches the Game Awards for the reveals and the stuff, but it turns out I have a work event that day, so I'm definitely not going to be watching. And on top of that, it's always like basically plastered in ads from Chinese gaming companies at this point. And I'm kind of over the 3 hours of ads that it's become. So I think I'm just going to read a review of it later and just kind of get the updates. But I do think we'll probably see something from Hideo Kojima finally announced, even though I've been saying that for 2 years. So, okay, yeah. Well, I want to, oh, go ahead, Spencer.
No, I was just agreeing with you. It probably is just to get it ahead of the Game Awards. But even still, like, do you really need a live stream? I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
I'm not going to watch it. It's not like I'm losing my life over this. I just think it's silly. But whatever.
No, but I mean, that's what the podcast is. We commentate on this stuff. But you're right. Like, DLC, especially for Far Cry, is not big enough that it's going to draw a crowd.
Yeah, this isn't Call of Duty or Destiny. I feel like those you get away with doing a live stream over DLC, but whatever.
Yeah, also, Far Cry DLC usually has very little, like, as far as new gameplay. Like, what are you really going to show? Is it just going to be you showing a trailer and then live gameplay after that, like a demo? Like, I don't know. I'm not going to watch this. If I watch it, it'll be later and I'll watch a recap because
correct.
It's going to be at 1 p.m. on a Tuesday right after a holiday. Also terrible timing right after a holiday. Like I'm catching up on work that week. I don't have time to watch this. But I do want to end this episode a little bit shorter. Not that it's that much shorter, but a little bit shorter than our normal because it's a holiday week and I want to get to playing some games. And you should do that too if you're listening to this. Happy holidays, and that's all this week. Thanks
Merry
for listening.
Merry Christmas, and I have to go set up my Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah, I haven't done that yet. I did put lights on the outside of the house, though. I haven't done the tree yet, though. We're going to do that with the kids. I think Emily wants to string popcorn, but Emily's my wife.
Terrible idea.
I said the kids are too young, and the dog and the kids will just eat it all.
Yep.
But I don't know. She may still want to do it. So thanks for listening. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton.
I am Spencer Rain. You can follow me on Twitter at Makes It Rain.
And I'm Gus Harden.
See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.